Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website. And John, look, there's a lot of cross currents within these markets and within some of the economic data that we are seeing. However, most eyes, most attention, it being from investors, filtering the whole way through to central bankers, seems to be on inflation. And we will get some more inflation data this week, but what we consistently have been seeing with inflation is higher inflation. Yeah, it might have come down just last month a very little bit. Fact of the matter is it is still staying very elevated, and central bankers now seem to be truly trying to tame inflation through rate hikes. Fed, they're already rate hiking. ECB sounds like they're going to start hiking rates at the end of Q2 or after Q2. John, what are you watching when it comes to inflation, how investors are dealing with it, how companies are dealing with it, and now how central banks are dealing with it?
Hey, Corey. Hey, Shad. Yeah, there are cross currents in inflation, but all the headline numbers are horrendous right now. I mean, the official numbers are pretty close to double digits in the U.S., and you know, it could be worse in parts of Europe where they're depending on Russian gas, which is what is it now, quadrupled from the bottom recently. So everybody's seeing in their own lives and in the official statistics absolutely outrageous inflation. 10, 11, 12% is completely conceivable from where we are now. And there are a lot of reasons to think it goes on for a while, the main one being food shortages, which are getting worse. Because that's kind of something that happens with a delay from when plantings happen to when the food actually hits the market. And all signs point towards minuscule harvests and food shortages in the coming year and soaring prices. So that's one reason to think inflation is going to stay a big problem going forward. But there are now other things pointing in the other direction. For instance, companies and including Amazon, Uber, and Coinbase, who have all been huge hirers of the last few years. They've been snarfing up all the workers they could. They're now scaling back their hiring and in some cases shrinking their workforces. And a lot of other companies are in the same boat where they couldn't find enough workers a year ago. And now they're getting rid of office space and laying people off and stuff. So we could see mass layoffs in the not too distant future, which is very deflationary. So you got the, you know, food prices soaring and people being laid off, making it not very clear what the actual inflation numbers are going to be a year hence. But that combination of economic conditions is pretty horrible for workers, right? It means you're no longer going to get raises. You might get fired while putting food on the table keeps getting more and more expensive. So that's going to lead to trouble around the world. And that's almost baked in the cake right now. No matter what happens with, you know, official inflation numbers a year from now, there are going to be food riots and other related disruptions around the world. And we're already seeing, where is it? Let's see, Iran and Sri Lanka now have violent food riots going on as we speak. And a lot of other countries are in the same boat. So it's going to be a very messy year ahead, no matter what the headline inflation numbers are, I think.
Yeah, John, that's the unfortunate truth. And history is filled with periods of time where massive inflation led to food riots. And that's one of the things that'll get a country turned on its head quicker than anything is when people can't afford to eat. And in this case, in our country, with so many commuters to their jobs, fill up their gas tanks. So we're seeing record high energy prices. We are seeing record high inflation at the grocery store, but it just really across all aspects of life. And I think most people realize it's gone long beyond just supply chain issues or just the war in Ukraine. It's really seeped into everything. We've seen Walmart and Target put out two terrible earnings reports back to back just the last week or the week before, and their stocks tanked. And a lot of that was due to inflation. But what we haven't seen so far is what you were just alluding to, the unemployment situation pickup. We haven't seen companies really escalate the unemployment yet, but that would be the final ingredient needed for stagflation. We have the inflation, we have the stagnant economy with a negative GDP growth for the first quarter, but we haven't seen that unemployment situation. Do you think as more and more companies are hit by inflation, just like the consumer, that is the trend we are going to see over the next year?
Maybe. And that's definitely one of the things that will add to stock market volatility in the next few weeks, because we're still in earnings season. So companies are reporting, a lot of them today, Monday, and quite a few for the rest of the week. And one of the recurring themes in all these earnings reports is, yeah, the price of everything is up and that's shrinking our margins. So our earnings are going to be lower going forward than we told you they were going to be 6 months. And that's really bad for stock prices. Because lowered guidance is one of the worst things that can happen to a big blue chip stock, because everybody's expecting it to do well going forward and weather the storm and stuff like that. And when somebody like Target or McDonald's or Walmart comes out and says, nope, it's going to be a hard year going forward and we can't guarantee anything beyond that, that shakes investor confidence. So that should add to stock market volatility in coming weeks and months. We've already seen quite a bit. Did you guys know that in the U.S., this was the worst start to the year for the S&P 500 in 99 years? I just saw that headline. That I had no idea that this, I knew it was a messy start to the year, but I didn't know it was that bad of a start to the year. So we're already in a period of extreme stock market volatility. And the effect of inflation on companies that are reporting now is just going to continue to add to it. So it looks like a really messy stretch here, even though that's kind of, in a lot of ways, backwards looking. When companies report, they're telling you what happened in the past. But if their guidance is for more of the same, then we should expect a lot of volatility as people sell stocks that are underperforming. And then look at the impact of that on Fed policy and think maybe that moves the Fed's capitulation up a little further, and then they go back in and buy stocks, you know. So we could see, like what we're seeing right now, you know, huge declines in a lot of stocks as last week, and now a big upswing in the price of a lot of those same stocks today, because nobody really knows what's going on. So the only thing you can say with certainty, I think, to sum all this up, is volatility. is likely going forward. We just can't know whether it's to the upside or downside.
Well, John, to your point about just how bad of a start it has been for the markets, it seems like this is a lot due to the fact that central banks are tightening. There is not that free money that is available to just be injected back into the markets. And what we have seen in the past is that when markets fall, central bankers switch course, to Shad's point. But again, it seems like these central bankers might let this drop happen a bit further. What do you think is the breaking point for these central banks? Because quite frankly, they carry a heavy hand in the markets. And now it's not just the U.S. We're seeing globally central banks start to at least talk about tightening.
Well, yeah, that's the trillion-dollar question is, what's the strike price of the Fed put? In other words, where will they intervene? And in the past, what's happened to the stock market in the last couple of months would have been sufficient. A 20% drop in the big stock indexes have caused the Fed to panic and reverse course and start easing again. But based on what they're saying, with justification from the inflation numbers, they're pretty freaked by a CPI at 8.9% or whatever. And they know that that can't be allowed to continue, because the result might be runaway inflation. In other words, where everybody just decides that, okay, this is going to go on forever, and we're going to buy the next 2 years worth of this stuff that we were going to get monthly. We're going to just go buy 2 years worth of it now. So you have panic buying, which sends prices up even higher, which causes more panic buying. That's the thing they're afraid of, in other words, that's the crack-up boom from the Austrian School of Economics, which destroys the value of the currency when it happens. The Fed doesn't want that to happen. And they're flat out saying that they're willing to take a bigger than usual hit to the stock market in order to get inflation under control. So all of a sudden, the old pattern of the Fed tightening a bit, stocks tanking, the Fed coming in with massive amounts of easy money, stocks soaring, doesn't look as certain in terms of timing as it did in the past. Maybe they're going to let the stock market be the casualty as a way of getting inflation under control. In other words, generate a serious reverse wealth effect where your stocks tank, you feel stupid and poor, so you spend less, and the price of things that you were going to buy because of lower demand now go down and inflation shrivels up. They might be thinking in those terms, and if they sacrifice the stock market in order to control inflation, who knows where the bottom is, because stocks were wildly overinflated a year ago, which means that a lot of them could go down by 50% and just be more or less fairly valued from here. And actually, to be honest about a lot of them, they could go to zero and be fairly valued, because there is no intrinsic value in a lot of these unicorn type companies and the recent IPOs that are out there, and the SPACs and the NFTs, and you know, there's so much stuff out there that really has no intrinsic value, which means it could go from wherever it is to zero as part of a broad-based equities bear market. So we could be looking at that. And I don't really see what gets us out of that, because there's no real political savior out there where some new party takes over and does all the right things. There's no right thing to do now. We've screwed up on such a scale. The only thing that seems like it would be a stabilizer in the near term would be a quick resolution to the Russia-Ukraine war that, you know, is followed by a flooding of the markets with by Russian energy and Ukrainian agricultural products, which calms everybody down. But first of all, that doesn't look likely. Second of all, it probably wouldn't save us if that happened. You know, it might excite people and cause the stock market to be bid up for a little while, but the world would still be in a huge mess. So I don't know. I don't know what the solution for this is. It really does look like we're heading into uncharted territory where the Fed is not going to save us from whatever the financial markets do.
Yeah, John, it does seem like the plan that the Fed has is to, A, you know, let the stock market correction hurt some of that demand pull by killing a little bit of the wealth effect. And I think the other thing that they're angling for is that the year-over-year numbers of the CPI readings and the PPI readings will start coming down, because when you compare them to really last summer, once we got into May, June, July, that's when the numbers started peaking. And so I guess their hope is that over time, the year-over-year comparables, the base effect, will start trending lower, and they can at least take a victory lap in that regard. But we would still have maybe prices not increasing as much, but from really higher price points to begin with. And so the consumer is still getting squeezed. I guess my question, John, is with the consumer getting squeezed at almost every area of their life when they go purchase something, and a lot of people still not recovering from maybe having a two-income household that went to a one-income household, or living off savings and then switching to credit cards. You know, there isn't much ammo left that the consumer has. And for the stock investors, they don't have much ammo left either after their meme stocks and growth stocks and stay-at-home stocks and reopening stocks and SPACs and NFTs, like you mentioned, all got hit at last year, at the end of the year. There's no capital coming in to rescue these markets, and there's no consumers that are going to come in to rescue the retail. So where does that leave us?
Yeah, that actually is a good point, in the sense that we don't have an obvious savior out there. There's no new technology, and there's no new business model the way there has been in past cycles. There's nothing really obvious that looks like it would be a magnet for massive amounts of hot money going forward. We don't have that. So people could be really dispirited by what happens, and it could cause the Fed to stop tightening, but it's not clear what revives animal spirits from there. So it could be that this is a much longer, more drawn out process than previous cycles have been, in which we have some, you know, short-term ups and then big downs and then another cycle like that and another, you know, where it just keeps on going down because there's no reason to get excited until the Fed finally panics somewhere down there at the bottom. And you know, we just don't know where that'll be. I completely expect negative interest rates and massive QE to be our monetary policy here in the US at some point. But it's not clear whether it's by the end of this year or 3 or 4 years from now. This could go on a lot longer than previous ones happen, just depending on what inflation is. So yeah, the base effects could be a big deal going forward, which might give us zero inflation from admittedly a really high price level, or all these disruptions could continue and we could have more inflation going forward, even on this higher base. We just can't know that right now because there are so many cross currents out there. But there really doesn't seem to be a scenario right now for financial market optimism to come back anytime soon.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people worried about these markets, rightfully so. It's been a very orderly sell-off without any major catalyst to point to that says, oh, once this plays out or once this bottoms, then the markets will recover. It seems to be every sector that has gotten hit. And again, it all filters back to central banks and the very different policy that we are seeing, the more hawkish policy out of these central banks. It just goes to show how addicted to free money the markets are. And right now we're in the opposite direction.
Yeah, because Corey, as you mentioned earlier, the ECB hasn't even started tightening yet. So we might be really early in this process. If these guys think they're going to raise it, you know, short-term interest rates by 300 basis points, let's say, if that's what they're going to have to do, and they haven't even started yet, we have a long way to go before this thing turns.
Exactly. And that's what we all need to realize is that for all the people out there saying the Fed is going to switch course immediately, it does not look that way. And these other central banks are just getting started. John, thank you for your time, buddy. Hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll chat in another couple weeks.
Great. Thanks, guys.